This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, hour one.
My fellow Americans, welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Delighted to have you with me across the nation. The phone number, 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. As always, text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777. You can get all the links everywhere. But real importantly, in fact, I was on a call yesterday with the folks in Sacramento at KSTE, and my show notes came up. When I start the program, typically as the show goes live, Philip pushes out for me my show notes. So in the morning, I get up, I begin show prep, and start listing out all the stuff I want to talk about. And Philip takes all that and compiles it into an email for you guys. So as I'm talking about stuff, you can follow along in the show. I don't want to think for you. I don't want to tell you what to think. I want to give you the information for you to think for yourself. If you subscribe to the show notes at noon every day, you get all the stuff I'm going to talk about and then some. It's show prep for your whole day. And you can get a 15% discount if you text the word data to 33777 and subscribe. I want to begin with you being spied on. You may not be aware that you are being spied upon. But you are being spied upon in significant ways. It's actually, I think, a bigger deal than some people want to believe. It's a more dangerous deal, I think, than some people want to believe. And I think we should all be aware of what's actually happening in the public. There are a host of companies that have sprung up. They're called innocuously data brokers. And they take all of your data online and they sell it to other people. Somewhat notoriously, the New York Times back in 2019 did a story about the data brokers. And they prepared a visual. Obviously, this is radio. If you tune into, if you go to YouTube, you'll be able to see it if you watch this monologue. As I play this from the New York Times, showing the data that they can buy cell phone data, and they can track people who work at the New York Stock Exchange or hang out on the beach in Los Angeles or work at the Pentagon or work at the White House. And at the time, they also showed Mar-a-Lago, and you could take the cell phone data points that were at, for example, the White House. And then buy the data for Mar-a-Lago, and you could overlay the White House and Mar-a-Lago. At the time, Donald Trump, he still maintains a cell phone. He keeps an active cell phone presence. So you could, in theory, and not really in theory, in practice, you could buy the data from cell phone companies. And if you knew how to work with the data, find all the dots that are in the White House for 24 hours. Now find all the dots that are at Mar-a-Lago for 24 hours. Now find all the dots that are at Camp David for 24 hours, and you begin to weed out the Secret Service agents. And you can pare down right to Donald Trump and figure out which dot is Donald Trump. You can do this with publicly available data. But they can do it to you, too. Now, there are companies. Flock is one of them. Flock is a company. In fact, my barber also cuts the hair of the CEO of the company. It's in the same building where my barber is. And I find it very useful. The civil rights and privacy aspect of me gets annoyed by it, but there are cameras cropping up around the country. And these cameras, they've got solar panels. You've seen them on roads, random black poles that have black cameras attached and solar panels, and they're license plate readers. And the data is sold to homeowners associations and to police. And so, for example, the police, if there's been a kidnapping and someone got the license plate of the kidnapper, the police partnering with Flock can very quickly, based on their license plate reading technology, find the kidnapper, the route, the road, and trace the kidnapper and save the child. It's remarkable technology. There's one called ShotSpotter. You know, Chicago nearly canceled the contract until there was a big backlash against the mayor of Chicago. And what the left says is that they target minority communities. What they actually do is they target high crime areas. If there's a high crime area and it's a minority community, well, that's not the problem of the data broker and the analysts in the data. That's a problem that there's too much crime in that neighborhood. What ShotSpotter does is it listens, it puts microphones in neighborhoods and it listens for sounds that are at 120 decibels or louder, which would be gunshots. And ShotSpotter can triangulate based on multiple microphones where the sound has come from, immediately notify the police who can dispatch someone to the area. Now, you couple ShotSpotter and Flock, two separate companies, but you couple ShotSpotter with Flock, and you can detect a gunshot and then see which car sped away from the area, get their license plates, and you might be able to solve a crime more easily. Now couple the cell phone data. You've got a license plate. You see the cell phones in the area. You see which cell phones left and the rate of speed at which they left based on the triangulation of cell phone towers. You got a pretty good idea of who the suspect is. But wait, it gets even better. You've emailed the company, and the email that you emailed the company is also the email that you maintain your subscription with a TV service. The company can buy your data from the TV service and see what channels you watch. And then they can go out and research you. They can find out your voting record. They can tell you whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. You know, the voting records for every American is available at every Secretary of State's office. You can go to a Secretary of State and you can find Republicans and Democrats. It's very easy. Do you vote? Do you request a Republican ballot in a primary or a Democratic ballot? You don't have to be registered to vote Republican or Democrat. You can show up at a primary, request a Republican ballot, and they're like, ding, Republican. So they know your voter history. They know what shows you watch. They learn way more about you. Now they get your cell phone files. They know where you're going. You know, many of you are convinced that your cell phones are listening to you because you see these ads, because you've had these conversations with people. Maybe they are. I think the hackers, given how much they like to break into these phones and stuff, they would be able to very easily find out that they were listening to you, but they don't have to listen to you because they find your Wi-Fi. They buy the data. They know what's coming over your Wi-Fi. So they know what you're looking at. They know whether you're into porn or whether you're into hunting or whatever you're into, whatever your deviancies are that you're looking over the internet. They know it. They label it with your cell phone data. They follow you around. They know that you and someone else were together. They follow the different data points, the different cell phone dots. They know you're into this stuff. This person's been with you. Maybe this stuff came up. So that person's going to start seeing the ads about the stuff you were talking to them about because you were interested in. And then that person's going to go home and they're going to follow that cell phone dot. And then they're going to connect their Wi-Fi to their cell data. They're going to see what they're looking at on the internet. They're going to build a huge data profile on that person based on your conversations with them. Based on your data, they're going to be able to overlap it all. you are the product when you go on these free social media sites. They're selling ads. It keeps them online. There's nothing wrong with it. It may creep you out, but really you're getting a great product. You love using Instagram? Well, you don't pay for Instagram, but Instagram gets to target you and sell you ads more tailored to who you are in the process to generate revenue to keep the ad, to keep the site going that you like to use. You like to get on Twitter? Well, Twitter's targeting ads. They're targeting you. They're paying attention to you. They're going to customize ads to you, except Twitter really sucks at customizing ads. Let's use Facebook. Facebook, millions and millions of Americans use Facebook. They do not pay a penny for Facebook. And in exchange, Facebook gets your data. They sell it to other people. They target ads to you. The ads generate revenue for Facebook. It keeps Facebook going so you can keep using it for free and connect to your friends, family, and your long-lost high school friend who you don't want to talk to anymore but who found you and sent you a friend request. But there's a dark side of this. The Fourth Amendment of the United States of America. The Fourth Amendment protects you. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. You say, but wait, that only applies to the government. You're right. But now the government doesn't need a warrant to spy on you because the government contracts with all these outside data brokers and they just buy the data. And they can trace your route based on your cell phone data. They can trace your deviancies based on your Wi-Fi data. They can trace you and learn about you without ever having to get a warrant. They bypass the whole process. Congress is reviewing FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It's actually a good law. It's been abused, but understand, separate the abuse from the necessity of it. Most data traffic in the entire world comes through the United States of America. Take China, for example. China has what they call the Great Firewall of China. For data to get in and out of China, it goes through one or two locations in Shanghai and somewhere else. It's got very limited locations. So when data flows out of China, it has to go through the Great Wall of China, the Great Firewall of China, and routes around the world. And most of that traffic comes through the United States because the massive data hubs are through the United States. But Congress had a problem because under prior legislation, every bit of data that came through the United States was presumed to be American data, even though more than half of it was not. So they wrote FISA, which authorized foreign intelligence surveillance in the United States. So the packets of information that flow around the world and come into the United States can be surveilled and not default presumed to be American data. It's actually a good idea. Civil libertarians don't like it. We'll get to that. But it's actually a good idea because more than 50% of the data that flows through the United States doesn't belong to American citizens. So we should allow our intelligence community to be able to look into it and see what's going on, see what China's doing, flowing through our very own corridors of data. The problem is the FBI began abusing it. The FBI began saying, well, we're going to look at everything. And then they would pretend, oh, we didn't actually look at that American who lives at 125 Chase Road in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We didn't look at his data. No. Did you know what his deviancy is we saw on his Wi-Fi stream? We didn't look at it, but we're going to go get a warrant now. So Congress needs to fix FISA. There's a problem. The legislation pending in the House of Representatives is called RISA, which is the Reformed Intelligence Surveillance Act, to fix FISA. It doesn't actually fix FISA. What it does is it takes all of the bureaucratic changes already made and ratifies them in a new law. What it does not do is it doesn't prohibit the federal government from buying data from data brokers to surveil American citizens without warrants. It's a fundamental flaw. My friend Warren Davidson, congressman from Ohio, he's put forward legislation to fix that, to prohibit the federal government from buying the data from data brokers to use against American citizens. They shouldn't fix FISA without fixing that loophole. You are being spied on by your government, which is allocating money to buy the data from the data brokers to find everything out about you that they should have to get a warrant to get under the Fourth Amendment. They're bypassing the Fourth Amendment, taking advantage of the free market and the private marketplace. And Congress could stop this and reinforce the Fourth Amendment and reinvigorate the Fourth Amendment. And they haven't done so. If you text data to 33777 and you subscribe, or even if you get, because it's not behind a paywall, my morning piece this morning is the phone number to the House of Representatives, and you should probably call and tell them not to re-up FISA unless they prohibit the government from purchasing the private data broker data, because the government should not be able to spy on you. The Fourth Amendment doesn't apply to the private sector. But the federal government shouldn't be able to get around the Fourth Amendment by buying the data from the private sector, which they're doing right now. You're being spied upon by your government. Most of you don't even know it, but you can do something about it if you're willing to pick up the phone. If you text data to 33777, get my morning piece. You got the number for your congressman in there. You can call them and tell them you need to stop the data broker buying by the federal government. Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to be on the program, 877-973-7425. Delighted to have you with me. Y'all, the president is at it again. This is one of those moments in the ask yourself if Donald Trump did it sort of stuff. I kind of get tired of doing the if Trump did this, you know what would happen stuff. But this one's kind of relevant. This is Joe Biden announcing yet again another student loan bailout.
Tens of millions of people's debt was literally about to get canceled. But then some of my Republican friends and elected officials and special interests sued us. And the Supreme Court blocked us. But that didn't stop us. No, I mean it sincerely. We continue to find alternatives paths to reduce student debt payments.
So he essentially says the Supreme Court can't stop him. Can you imagine if Donald Trump had said something like this? You know the outrage from the media. They would willfully twist his words to suggest he was ignoring the Supreme Court. Now, here is the intellectually honest reality, and that is that he's trying to find a path that musters, based on the Supreme Court decision, musters judicial scrutiny and can get past it. I don't know that he can, given the authority here. The bigger issue is he's trying to use your money to buy off college-educated voters. You've heard all the conversations and commentary about college-educated voters moving to the Democratic side. This is a way to lock those people in. As the working class leaves the Democratic Party, he's giving them a big middle finger. But man, if Donald Trump had said he was ignoring the Supreme Court or working around them, there would be an absolute meltdown in the press, but not for Joe Biden. Now, I got to tell you guys about Old Glory Bank. I feel like I'm doing them a disservice, just so you understand, because they send me little scripts and things, read, but I just like them as my bank. And it's kind of weird to actually enjoy banking with a bank because the bank's kind of the sterile entity. But I really do like the fact that they're not eating me alive with bank fees. I can put money in my account or my kids' accounts, and it's going to be there without the bank taking $5 or $10 at a time. I can deposit cash into the bank. I can do mobile checks to the bank. And, I mean, like cash, you're worried about using a remote bank, but you can go to 85,000 retail locations in the country. Take cash with you and get it into your bank account very easily. It works. They're good people. They share your values. You don't have to worry about a woke bank here. They're conservatives in Oklahoma. OldGloryBank.com. Get an account with them. OldGloryBank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Terms and conditions apply. OldGloryBank.com. It's my bank. You'll love them. Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I would be delighted to have you as I open the Masters app and see what's going on. Now, I guess I should turn on the call screening program, shouldn't I? Randomly, I realize I got to get to the news here, but I get invited, and I got to reiterate this because I was talking about Masters yesterday, and somebody said, hey, I'd love to play golf with you. Y'all, I'm a terrible golfer. I don't like to play golf with other people because I'm a bad golfer. But I'm flattered, but you just have to understand that I like to hit golf balls, but I'm getting better. But I don't know that I'm comfortable playing with really good golfers unless they understand I'm really bad. Now, to the phones here. Maggie, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Eric. We're still in the Easter season, so he is risen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't understand this. Help me try to realize. Help me try to understand this. I want to buy a car. I go and apply, and I get a loan. I can't make the payments. The car is taken away. I go to buy a house. I can't pay the mortgage. The bank forecloses on me. I have student loans, but Joe Biden waves his magic wand and it suddenly disappears. Don't these mush heads realize that if the Democrats have their way, they're going to be paying higher taxes and they're going to end up paying anyway?
No, you know, this is the problem, and clearly it is the failure of education in America that these guys who would be bailed out of this, they don't really understand that they will take their individual debt and spread it among taxpayers. Maybe they don't care, but I actually think they really do believe that somehow there's this magical debt forgiveness that nobody is on the hook for the payment. I mean, the Democrats certainly talk like they believe that, that they have no economic sense. It really is striking to me. Just how ignorant these well-educated people are. And look, I do understand, and Maggie, it's a great point. I appreciate it. I do understand there are some who maliciously know the truth and won't publicly acknowledge it. But I actually do think a large number of them are economically illiterate, and they believe that somehow if you wipe the debt away, it goes away. Nobody else is on the hook for it. Well, the money came from somewhere premised on you paying it back. You're no longer paid it back. Where did the money come from that paid it? The taxpayers. It's just pathetic that this is where we are. But this is where we are. Now, I got to move on because I got a story here. I meant to get to this yesterday, and I'm actually glad that I didn't because another story came out overnight that plays perfectly into this. Let me make sure I get all these links open so I have it all for you. I mentioned the surveillance issue. This gets to the TikTok issue, but I actually don't want to talk about TikTok. I just want you to understand that think of all the data going to Americans, and I have some email correspondents and friends who say, well, I mean, everybody else is doing this. TikTok doing it is no big deal, except there's an angle here with TikTok everybody misses. American corporations brokering and buying your data, they're there to sell you more ads. They're there to figure out who you are and what button they can push to get you to buy a good or service. The Chinese are actually looking for who needs to be eliminated and who needs to be bribed and who needs to be blackmailed. The Chinese are using your data for maliciousness when the American corporations buying your data are using it for capitalistic purposes. You may not like it. It may be an invasion of privacy, but you need to be able to distinguish between American corporations that want to sell you stuff and the Chinese that want to destroy you. And it is increasingly a problem. So now for years, I've thought about this, and it sounds a little crazy, but hear me out on this. I used to, a long time ago, be program computers. I was never very good at it. It was very rudimentary. I enjoyed doing it. I could build myself games and stuff. But I always have been fascinated by computer programming. And what if you could add a little piece of code here, just an innocuous line? And then you develop more code and you add an innocuous line. Then you develop more code and you add an innocuous line. And when the three pieces of software collide, those three innocuous lines combine, and now you got a computer virus, a completely undetected computer virus, just an errant line of code over a series of different programs that work in conjunction with each other. And as they work in conjunction with each other, suddenly you got a computer virus. It's an intriguing concept, except it's no longer a concept. There is the XZ backdoor now. There's a compression utility. Now, what's a compression utility? A compression utility takes a very large file and it compresses it so it makes it easily transmittable over the internet. There's a compression utility called XZ Utils, and it had malicious code in it. The developer of the program found the malicious code. And essentially what it does is it creates a backdoor, and a backdoor opens up sections of computer systems so hackers can go through and steal information. Turns out the malicious code had been put there by Jia Tan. I'm probably mispronouncing the name. I don't know who he is. I don't know if he's working with the Chinese. I don't know. Asian. But he's a developer who added a backdoor into this compression utility. Now, here's the catch. This individual, this developer who added a backdoor, it was open source, which means people around the world can collaborate together on the software. This guy who put in the malicious backdoor for the hackers had been contributing legitimate patches and upgrades for quite a while, was a team player, so to speak. The ultimate goal was a backdoor into open SSH. Now, that's computer programming speak for you, but what you need to know is that the attackers put their code in a compression library that was dependent on another library, itself sometimes dependent on open SSH. Now, for those of you who are completely convoluted into what this actually is, well, you take these three pieces of software that are independent standalone pieces of software, you put them together to compress and decompress information, and suddenly it opens a backdoor into your computer system, and so hackers can get in. You never even know it, because the software is about compressing and decompressing large files. So why would it have anything to do with opening backdoors to the hackers? It shouldn't, except this guy programmed it to do that. And you know the only reason this was found was because the guy who came up with the program originally was curious. Why was it taking his computer 7/10 of a second to connect to the internet instead of 2/10 of a second to connect to the internet? Because it had always taken 2/10 of a second to connect to the internet. And suddenly it's taking 7/10 of a second. And he was curious as to why. And he found the malicious code from the guy who had been a regular contributor. Now, let's back this out. Walk this out. This is a complex issue. I'm dumbing it down and trying to simplify it. For those of you who aren't in tech, don't shoot me, nerds. But you have a guy who seemed to be a legitimate programmer contributing to software and over time started contributing malicious code that opened backdoors for nefarious purposes. Now, back that out. Let's say the guy was working for China. We don't know that he was, but let's say he was. Suddenly, for nationalistic purposes for China, hackers are doing stuff like this, opening up doors around the world. Now, let's take TikTok. Not only are they getting into your computer systems through backdoors that they've hacked maliciously, they're sending all of your data that comes through TikTok back into China. They're routing the information into China. They're trying to figure out who's persuadable and who's not. Who do they need to take out? Who do they need to blackmail? Who do they need to harass? Who in government is worth bullying? Who in government is worth censoring? Who in government is worth blackmailing based on their searches and deviancies they hide online? Now let's step forward into the elections process, because there's some stunning data out in Canada in 2019. A group of known and suspected People's Republic of China related threat actors in China, including officials, worked with one another to covertly advance PRC interests through Canadian democratic institutions. In fact, it appears that 11 political candidates and 13 political staff members were assessed to be either implicated in or impacted by the group from the Communist Party of China. 7 candidates were from the Liberal Party of Canada or were from the Conservative Party of Canada. Some of these individuals appeared willing to cooperate in foreign intelligence-related activities, while others appear to be unaware of potential foreign intelligence-related activity due to its clandestine nature. In one example, intelligence reports indicate officials from the PRC met with political staffers and specifically conveyed their expectation that the staffers screen candidates' attendance at certain events, such as those hosted by Taiwanese officials. Intelligence assessments suggest that some of these threat actors receive financial support from the People's Republic of China to do this and to influence elections in China. But it's not just happening in China. It's happening in this country as well. There's a growing body of evidence the Chinese have been able to and or attempting to shape information inside the United States. This is from NBC News. A more aggressive China tried to influence the 2022 midterms, according to U.S. intelligence reports. There were no signs that they were able to successfully hack our systems, but in at least one case, Chinese officials were able to persuade an anti-Chinese candidate to stand down from running for Congress in a Democratic primary in New York. So now you take all the data they're getting from TikTok. I told you all about how corporations in America can basically build a psychographic demographic profile of you. China can do the same thing. And China isn't buying the data. China is stealing it off your phone through TikTok, more probably. In addition, you've got hackers out there who are building in backdoors for China to infiltrate. Now they can take out the water grid, and then they can figure out the official at the water grid who's going to be persuasive to not turn the water grid back on or to help them sabotage it. At the same time, the Chinese are having all sorts of economic problems, and these economic problems are beginning to cause more nationalistic fervor in the Chinese government to try to distract people from their economic problems. So in China, they're pouring money into gold ETFs in the stock market. Why? Because there's nothing worth investing in China anymore, thanks to Xi Jinping's economic reforms. So the Chinese are trying to buy out all the gold around the world, and they're driving up gold prices, trying to find secure investments to get around Xi Jinping. As that economic instability grows, the angst in China grows, the war threat from China begins to grow because the Chinese need to distract people from their economic consequences. They built up this nationalist fervor in China. Now, let's layer into this new report from the Wall Street Journal out today. Russia and China are doubling down on defying the United States. Janet Yellen gave a talk about how she wants to work with China, but she doesn't want China to undermine her economy, and she doesn't want China to work with the Russians. 2 days after Janet Yellen meets with her Chinese counterparts and insists they need to not work with Russia, the Chinese and the Russians are found to be collaborating behind the scenes to undermine the United States. This, according to the Wall Street Journal, not the editorial page, but the actual reporters. Russia and China have pledged to deepen their growing alliance and shared opposition to what they describe as the U.S.'s attempts to dominate the world order, with Moscow again seeking to boost trade with Beijing as it looks for new ways to bypass Western sanctions imposed due to Ukraine. The Chinese are at war with us already. They're trying to undermine us already. Have you seen the flood of Chinese nationals coming across the border already? And the United States government is asleep at the switch. There's a growing recognition, a bipartisan recognition in Washington, that China is no longer a trading partner or a rival, but an enemy. And yet the Biden administration is doing nothing to contain this. There are growing warning signs that the Chinese are already here, either inside your computers or actually in person. And they mean you harm. And in Washington, they seem to have no clue how to combat this. The Navy can't even get the naval procurement officers to build ships fast enough to respond to China. We got to step up our game. The Chinese are getting more dangerous, and at some point, they're going to turn belligerent, and it is exceedingly obvious to anyone willing to pay attention, and unfortunately, not enough people in Washington are willing to pay attention. Now, I got to move on. Before I do, I got to tell you about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. I'm glad to have them back this week. They came in handy on vacation with me. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm is an air purifier. You can hold it in your hand. It's that small. You can plug it up with a USB cord in your car to power it. You can plug it up in with a wall socket. It's got the prongs for that, or it's got the USB outlet, and it wipes out odors, so smoke odors. I've used this thing in my car when I've blown cigar smoke in my car on the golf course, and my wife got upset with me. Eden Pure Thunderstorm wiped it out. Cooking odors, frying odors, litter box odors, pet odors, wet dog odors, musty odors. Right now, you can buy one, get one free at EdenPureDeals.com. They work. They also trap the pollen and the mold and the dust with electrostatic plates, so it purifies the air and it wipes out odors combined. It's great. You buy one, get one free. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is Eric Bogo, E-R-I-C-K-B-O-G-O. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm, it really works. It's small enough. I keep one in my travel bag. When I travel, I've used it in hotel rooms and rental cars to wipe out smoke odors, and it just works. You can plug it up with a USB cord or plug it into the wall. EdenPureDeals.com, E-R-I-C-K-B-O-G-O, Eric Bogo. That's the discount code.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the phone number 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. I am delighted to have you with me. Have you heard about Sheila Jackson Lee? Sheila Jackson Lee believes the moon is made up mostly of gases. She is a former ranking member of the Space and Aeronautics Committee. Sheila Jackson Lee is very famously the member of Congress who asked if the Mars rover could be run over to see Neil Armstrong's flag on Mars. This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan there in Noonan, Georgia, but they can help your business wherever you are in the nation, including those of you fine folks in Sacramento, California, listening on Talk 650 KSTE. They can help your business if you're buying a building, building a building. If you are financing, you need $250,000 or more. Reach out to First Liberty Building and Loan. The Frost family's been helping businesses grow since the 90s. They make their own lending decisions, and you can start a relationship with them and have a lifelong relationship with them. They're not going anywhere, unlike maybe your current lender at all these banks that just keep changing people around. FirstLibertyGA.com. Great people, great company. Y'all, it's Sheila Jackson Lee. Yeah, so she wanted to see if the Mars rover could be driven over to see where Neil Armstrong's flag was on Mars. And now she says that it is, quote, almost impossible to go near the sun, but the moon is more manageable because it's made up mostly of gases. Do you know, when we originally went to the moon, we weren't exactly sure what we were getting ourselves into. Nobody really thought it was cheese. But could it have been a giant dust ball held together by a core? We weren't really sure. Well, it's a solid mass. And apparently the only person who doesn't know this is Sheila Jackson Lee. Although, I don't know. You know, there are those flat earther people out there. And I used to really think the flat earther people were just scamming us, that they really didn't believe the earth is flat. But no. Apparently they really do believe the world is flat. And they're serious about it. Look, I've got people who are good friends of mine who believe we never actually landed on the moon. I disagree, but I get it. But the flat earther people, all you need to do is get in an airplane and you can go high enough and see the curve of the earth. And it's bonkers to me that people actually do this. But people believe things. People are stupid.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.